Now, we are here in 1 John, and John wrote 3 epistles, actually, and we'll be looking at all of them, of course, in this Through the Bible program. But I have an introduction to put down for this first epistle that's very important for the understanding of it. This is a book that I have always used when I began my ministry in any new church. I didn't at the first church that I ever served because I was a seminary student and did not know enough then to begin in the right place. But in the 4 churches that I've served in my 40 years of ministry, I've always begun our midweek service by a study in 1 John. And I have used this book because I believe that it is actually more important for believers in the church to study than the church epistles. Now, Paul wrote church epistles, and the other epistles are church epistles. But this epistle actually is a family epistle and should be treated that way. And we'll call attention to that as we move into this very wonderful little book. And I have been able to see the midweek service in churches that I have begun my pastorate in, the attendance begin to crawl up. We've seen a phenomenal increase in the last 2 churches that I served. The attendance during the time we studied this little epistle, it doubled and then doubled again and then doubled another time, so that we actually were having as many people in attendance as we were having in Sunday evening service. And there were times when the midweek service would surpass the Sunday night service. Now, as we come here to 1 John, and I tell you all of this for one purpose, and that is to try to call attention to the significance of it and the importance of it for believers. Now, this first epistle was apparently written somewhere between 90 and 100 A.D. It has been the belief of the church down through the years that John wrote his gospel first, and then he wrote his epistle second, and then finally wrote the book of Revelation before his death about 100 A.D. But in recent years, there have been those that have taken the position that probably John wrote his epistles last. Rather than Revelation, he wrote his epistles last. And I have come to that position in my own thinking. I don't think that it's too important, but I think it's important enough to call attention to, and we'll see why that is true. Now, John expressed the purpose for his writing in each of the 3 types of revelation God gave to him: gospel, epistles, and revelation, the prophetic book of the New Testament. Now, in his gospel, he stated the purpose like this in John 20, verses 30 and 31, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now, that's the purpose that he expressed in writing his gospel. Now, in this first epistle, we have this stated here. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And that's 1 John 5:13. But just in a moment, I want to call attention to the fact that in this epistle, John actually mentions 5 purposes. five reasons why he wrote this little epistle that is so important, therefore. Now, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1:19, he stated his purpose in writing that book. He says, write the things which thou hast seen, that's the past, and the things which are, that is the present state of things, and the things which shall be hereafter, and that would be definitely prophetic. Now, there is a fivefold purpose, though, that John has expressed in writing this first epistle. And I think that makes it a very significant book. And I'll mention these now and come back to them later. In the first chapter, verse 3, he says, that ye may have fellowship with us, that is, other believers, and with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose of the epistle is that we all might have fellowship together. Now, the second purpose is in the fourth verse of the first chapter, that your joy may be full. And then the third purpose is in the second chapter, verse 1, that ye sin not. And then the fourth purpose is expressed over in the fifth chapter that we've already given, that you may know that you have eternal life. And the fifth reason is that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, so that it has a gospel message, and it has a gospel message that gives eternal life and an assurance to a believer. Then I would add an overall purpose is to present Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of this epistle. And I have written in my Bible over this epistle this scriptural statement, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And you will find that when we get into this epistle, that he's talking a great deal here about the family of God. And that is something that is quite wonderful and intimate. And this epistle has been called the Sanctum Sanctorum of the New Testament. It takes the child of God across the threshold into the fellowship of the Father's house. It is the family epistle. And John is writing here to the family of God. The word Father, referring to God, is used 13 times, and little children used 11 times. Now, Paul wrote to the church. John wrote to the family. The church is a body of believers in the position where we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens. We're given that position when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that also brings us into the family of God. But in the family, we have a relationship which can be broken but is restored when we confess our sins. And we're told he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's talking there to his children. You see, sin in the first epistle of John is a family affair. It is something that has to do with a relationship with the Father. It is something that has offended someone that loves you. And it is to be treated like that. Now, I have in my notes, and I trust many of you have the notes, I have a little chart here. And I have an inner circle, and that circle is called the body of believers. Then a wider circle is called the family of God. And then a still wider circle that encompasses all of it, and that's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Now, the body of believers who constitute the church are in the family of God, though the family is larger than the church. The church and the family are both in the kingdom of God, but they're not synonymous terms. They could be under certain circumstances, as we shall see. Now, you have in this epistle three definitions given of God, and that's the way I've divided the epistle. God is light, and that is in chapter 1, down through chapter 2, verse 2. And light is used 6 times in this epistle. The second definition is God is love. And that begins in the second chapter, verse 3, goes through chapter 4, verse 21. And the word love is used 33 times in this epistle. And then the third definition of God is life. And that's chapter 5. And that is used 15 times in this epistle. And fellowship is used 4 times. And the word know, and we saw how that was emphasized in 2 Peter, it's used 38 times in this epistle. Now, John wrote to meet the first heresy which entered the church. It was Gnosticism, which boasted a super knowledge. It accepted the deity of Jesus, but it denied his humanity. And John gives us the true Gnosticism, the true knowledge of God. And I want to say just a word about the Gnostics as we proceed in this epistle. Now, I want to take up the prologue. In the first 3 verses, we really have the prologue to the epistle. In fact, I would say the first 4 verses. But I have divided it. The first 2 verses, we have a prologue. And then we have how the little children may have fellowship with God. And that begins with verse 3 and goes down through chapter 2, verse 2. Now, we'll deal with it on that basis, on the outline that I've given. But I would consider the first 4 verses more or less of a prologue.